It lays the predicate and the foundation for the development of a weather satellite that will permit man to determine the world's cloud layer and ultimately to control the weather, and he who controls the weather will control the world.
Tragically, the majority of the U.S. population, from the far left to the far right, are still caught up in the circular, pointless paradigm of parroting carefully crafted power structure propaganda. We are all living and breathing in a rapidly increasing toxic soup, and there are exponentially increasing consequences. Death rates are soaring, life expectancy is dropping, populations are becoming less and less able to connect the dots. That's a verifiable fact. Consider this headline from numerous sources published earlier this year. IQ scores are falling and have been for decades. IQ scores have been steadily falling for the past few decades with changes in our environment. We can't exist in the toxic environment that we are now mired in without grave consequences. In regard to rapidly declining IQ levels, even more alarming, those who wield the world's weapons of mass destruction are also certainly being cognitively affected by the toxic onslaught. Also, as is the entire web of life. Heavy metal and chemical fallout from global climate engineering operations are the single greatest source of the most toxic atmospheric particulates. We, all of us, are inhaling these particulates with every breath we take. Aluminum, barium, strontium, manganese, and more. Most are increasingly aware of the dangers posed by, for example, aluminum. The list is nearly endless. But what about a less understood heavy metal like manganese? What can that metal do to our health? Consider this report from WestonPrice.org and other sources titled Manganese Madness. Here's an excerpt from that report. Neurology textbooks identify manganese as a neurotoxic metal. In 1837, as far back as 1837, an English physician noted that some workers in a manganese mill appeared lethargic and their faces unexpressive. By the turn of the century, the disease of manganism had been described in medical journals. The disease struck miners exposed to toxic dust and appeared to cause emotional lability, irrationality, hallucinations, and impulsivity. Chronic exposure produced more severe symptoms, including muscular weakness, difficulty in walking, tremor, immobile facial expression, and speech disturbances, symptoms reminiscent of Parkinson's disease. And for the record, manganese toxicity has long been known to be associated with impulsive and violent behavior. Yes, toxic heavy metal particulates from climate engineering fallout are in every breath we take. What are these metals doing to us in totality? What are they doing to the entire web of life? Question: why are all the so-called environmental protection groups and organizations remaining completely silent about the greatest and most immediate threat to all life, the climate engineering weather warfare assault? And that is not to ignore all other forms of human insanity. I'm not ignoring those forms. I'm simply saying this is mathematically the greatest and most immediate threat short of nuclear cataclysm at this moment. These organizations, these environmental organizations, do not want to risk their government-granted nonprofit status. How do I know this? Because our attorneys from the Legal Alliance to Stop Geoengineering spoke to attorneys from many of the top environmental organizations who refused to acknowledge or address the climate engineering issue for fear of the loss of their nonprofit. And there is this. Environmental organizations are, in many or most cases, bought and paid for by those in power. Here are verifiable examples. Rockefeller Brothers Fund has given 5,943 grants to 2,273 recipients, totaling $397 million plus, nearly a half a billion dollars from 1999 to 2015. Here are specific examples of environmental organizations that are on the power structure payroll. Tides Center, nearly $3 million. Earth Island Institute, nearly $2.5 million. World Resources Institute, $2,335,000. The Sierra Club Foundation, $1,165,000. Greenpeace, nearly $1 million. Rainforest Action Network, $950,000. Same as Greenpeace, nearly $1 million. National Wildlife Federation, $881,000. Environmental Defense Fund, who I know our attorney spoke to, $554,000. 350.org, probably the most well-known global warming advocacy group, nearly $500,000, $450,000. How does that square? So-called environmental defense groups that refuse to address the single greatest climate disruptive factor of all and the single greatest threat we collectively face, that the environment collectively faces, short of nuclear cataclysm. They will not address it because they are receiving money from power structure sources. What a surprise. Why should any environmentally concerned citizen support such organizations when they refuse to even mention, as I stated, the most environmentally destructive human activity of all? Over 70 years of climate engineering, weather warfare, insanity. Again, why should we, the public, support such organizations that at minimum are profoundly hypocritical and perhaps worse, are controlled opposition? Answer to that question about supporting them. No so-called environmental organization should be supported in any way, shape, or form unless or until they are willing to face the climate engineering insanity and join in the effort to expose and halt it, period. Many breaking frontline headlines. I'll get to those in a moment. First, this is Dane Wigington. You're listening to the Global Alert News Hour for December 1st, 2018. This commercial-free program is brought to you by geoengineeringwatch.org and paid for by geoengineeringwatch.org. This news hour is broadcast throughout Northern California on 1670 AM, 104.9 FM, and 105.7 FM Saturday mornings from 6 to 7, and now rebroadcast on Sunday mornings from 6 to 7 as well. Global Alert News is also rebroadcast on the East Coast by the PRN Radio Network on Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Recordings of this broadcast can be found at geoengineeringwatch.org under the recent top stories and radio sections. This announcement again. If you're aware of any radio station that may be willing to pick up the commercial-free Global Alert News Hour, please let us know. We will gladly provide the downloads of our broadcast to other stations for free. As I've stated always, our only goal is to sound the alarm. With this announcement, I need to stress, we need people to help us make these contacts. We are spread unimaginably thin with our workload at geoengineeringwatch.org. There is not enough time in a day for me to even begin covering all the bases and communications that I'm trying to cover, all the fires I'm trying to tend on the front line. We need people to actually help us pick the ball up and run with it up the field. Make the contact with stations. Pass them on copies of the weekly broadcast. Ask them if they would be willing to pick up this show. We need actual help in the front lines, not just suggestions as to what else we can do on this end, because there simply is not enough manpower and resource to do anything more than we are doing. We're doing everything we humanly can. We need help moving the ball up the field desperately. If you're in the Reading area, free geoengineeringwatch.org informational materials can be picked up from Orchard Nutrition. For those not in the Reading area, the latest geoengineeringwatch.org awareness-raising materials can be ordered from the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org for our approximate cost of producing and shipping. Jim Fair. Every week, I will announce where their events will be because they have been an incredible ally in the fight to expose and halt climate engineering. I can't stress that enough. So please, if you want to help us sound the alarm and you're near these events, show up. You can get in for free if you tell them why you're there, to pick up geoengineeringwatch.org materials to help us sound the alarm. You can get those materials for free at the Jim Fair events. Please help us to spread awareness. Help us to reach a critical mass. This week at Costa Mesa, California, started yesterday into tomorrow at the Orange County Fair and Event Center. Next week, Santa Barbara, California, December 7th through December 9th at the Earl Warren Showgrounds. The week after, San Diego, California, December 14th through December 16th at the Scottish Rite Event Center. Check the Jim Fair homepage for details on future events, GEMFAIRE. On the subject of new information, getting on to what's happening in our world, the Truman Show that we live in. That's what it is. Lies and deception from every imaginable direction. Last week, countless headlines raved about the Mars landing. And certainly the Mars landing was a very embraced and welcome headline of mass distraction for the completely criminal power structure. A headline that, of course, eclipses many other unfolding stories that those in power would rather you don't hear about. In regard to space travel, I want to stop and consider a very perplexing statement from NASA's oldest active astronaut, Don Pettit. You can hear his testimony in his own words. Listen carefully to this recorded statement from NASA's astronaut, Don Pettit, who tells us on film and on the record that though we are told we can go to Mars, apparently we are no longer able to go to the moon. Listen closely.
I'd go to the moon in a nanosecond. The problem is we don't have the technology to do that anymore. We used to, but we destroyed that technology, and it's a painful process to build it back again. But going to Mars should be one of the next series of steps that humans do. The first step should be going back to the moon for a number of technical reasons and exploration reasons, and then after that, Mars, maybe a high orbit in Venus atmosphere, maybe going to Europa. There's all kinds of targets to go to, places of interest in our solar system. The only limit to a human future is in our own imaginations.
So to summarize what NASA's oldest active astronaut, Don Pettit, just said, he said that we lost the technology to go to the moon. Can't go there anymore. We can go to Mars and other places, but we can't go to the moon anymore. To follow up on that statement that you just heard from the mouth of NASA's oldest active astronaut, let's look at this story from Forbes.com and numerous other sources confirmed the NASA quote that Pettit gave, that we lost the technology to go to the moon. Here's the Forbes headline. How we lost the ability to travel to the moon. That's from Forbes magazine. Many covered this. Why isn't that troubling to people? How could that possibly be the case? So we have all been taught and told that driving a dune buggy around the moon over a half century ago in the 1960s was no problem. But we can no longer go to the moon because, again, quote, we lost the technology. Really? Does that seem rational to anyone? For the record, someone is not telling the truth. Should this be any surprise? Not giving any conclusions on any of this. I'm just saying, shouldn't we be asking questions? We're truly living in an insane asylum. On the subject of not telling the truth, let's consider the blatant and verifiable lie of a growing economy on a dying planet, which, for the record, is impossible. As I've tried to point out countless times, biosphere collapse equals economic collapse equals collapse of industrialized, militarized civilization. No other possible outcome. That's the course we are on. From numerous sources, just to point out some of the lies of the better-than-ever economy that so many choose to believe because the complete Ponzi scheme of a stock market is artificially being pumped up by endless dollar printing. Here's the headline from multiple sources. GM to slash up to 14,000 jobs in North America. Just an example. As the walls close in and power structure desperation goes exponential, the push for more invasions and even more global conflict will continue to escalate. On that note, this next headline from multiple sources is no surprise, or should come as no surprise. Here's the headline. Here we go again. U.S. accuses Iran of hiding chemical weapons. Does this ring a bell for anyone from previous U.S. adventures in the Middle East? How short people's memories are. How obvious does it have to be that the U.S. is doing their best to take down Iran and install a puppet government, just like Iraq and countless other countries over the last 100 years? No, the U.S. constant military invasions and occupations are not about freedom and democracy. It is about empire. It is about the resources necessary to run that empire. Power structure desperation and conflict go hand in hand. The unfolding biosphere collapse and resource depletion is rapidly fueling that power structure desperation. And for those who mistakenly conclude that a just criticism of our country's actions is somehow advocating for another country, any other country, no, that's absolutely not the case. All countries, all governments are completely corrupt. The criminality is in direct proportion to the size and power that is wielded by that country. Where does that leave the U.S.? Who controls an unimaginably massive military-industrial complex that is larger than the next 10 militaries combined. Moving on, back to the home front, question. How are Americans holding up? Answer, not so well. Consider this new report from multiple sources. Opioid crisis, suicides, driving decline in U.S. life expectancy, says the CDC, Centers for Disease Control. Life expectancy in the United States has now declined for 3 years in a row from that report. And let's consider and not forget the skyrocketing Alzheimer's, dementia, diabetes, respiratory mortality. Life in a toxic fishbowl will continue to take an ever greater toll on all of us. The highly toxic heavy metal nanoparticulates from climate engineering fallout are in every breath we take. This is certainly a primary factor fueling the rapid health and life expectancy decline, something those in power will hide from the population as long as possible. How's the weather? Overcast with a chance of drizzle for a week to 10 days. That's the AccuWeather forecast, or at least it was a day ago. The weather in Northern California and so many places around the globe is completely different than it was even slightly over a decade ago. It's been changing rapidly. How few even notice this? I live on top of a mountain where when storms came in, we had consistent, sustained winds of 80, 90 miles an hour that would snap trees off. We don't get that anymore. Yes, we have gusts now and then, but there is a condition called global stilling. Please look this up. To go along with global dimming, which I'll cover in a moment, there's global stilling. How would climate engineering affect the wind? Because it affects convection, and convection is the primary component for driving wind, differences in pressure zones. So, yes, I know there are horrific winds in places, in fact, record winds in places and record storms, but overall, need to remember that word, overall, global precipitation is diminishing, which is impossible on a warming planet, unless there's a factor we're not being told about, which is climate engineering, global stilling, less wind overall, and pressure is being built up in the system because of climate engineering. The more they climate engineer, the more they will decimate Earth's natural life support systems, and the more pressure they will build up in the system so that when climate engineering is stopped, in one way or the other, it will stop, the blowback, the rebound will be ever more horrific, in fact, cataclysmic. The longer, every single day they do this, pounds more nails in our collective coffins and makes the blowback that will occur when climate engineering is stopped, and it must be stopped. It must be stopped. To not stop it, and academia argues that once you start climate engineering, you can never stop because of the reasons I just described. That is not true. It's like telling a drug addict that once you start doing drugs, you just have to do more and more and more because withdrawals are too hard. That's not a truthful statement. If you don't stop as an addict, you will die. If we don't stop climate engineering, our planet's done. It's done. Even if we stop, we face immense challenges. Too many people, I've had this discussion too many times with too many people that somehow have convinced themselves that nothing we do to the planet causes any harm other than climate engineering, that that's the only problem. And that is not a rational conclusion. Not a rational conclusion. Every form of human activity that damages the planet or alters the energy balance of the planet is a problem. It's a form of climate engineering. Let's focus on climate engineering first and foremost, but please look at the whole picture, because if you take a position that nothing else we do to the planet causes any harm, that's not rational, it's not accurate, and that ensures that academia will not join us in this fight because they know better. We need to unite the tribes. If we're to have any chance in prevailing in this battle, we need to unite the tribes. So back to the weather. These days and days and days we have now so often of featureless skies, no rain falling out, moisture being migrated over the top of the U.S. West, migrated further inland in the country to where that moisture is utilized to create engineered cool downs. Another huge factor not being acknowledged even by people who claim to be fighting climate engineering. Chemical ice nucleation for weather modification, the engineered cool downs. Please review that whole section on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org, engineering winter. Now, listen carefully to the next headline. How big does the geoengineering elephant in the sky have to get before it's finally acknowledged? It seems we may be getting closer. Here's the headline, published last week from weather.com and other sources. Listen carefully. Haven't seen a headline like this before. Airplanes likely cause snow to develop near Chicago. From that report, aircraft likely contributed to a burst of heavy snow as they flew above the waters of Lake Michigan on Tuesday. Flight tracking provided evidence that air traffic was a contributor to the formation of a localized pocket of heavy snow. Planes arriving from the west made a looping turn over Lake Michigan, a similar pattern to how the radar echoes showing snow appeared. Now, listen to this very carefully. This is called, according to those who publish the story, those at Weather Channel, they labeled this occurrence inadvertent cloud seeding. They concluded that aircraft propellers and wings caused the formation of the snow. Aircraft propellers and wings. No mention of the patented processes of chemical ice nucleation for weather modification. Patents you could find at geoengineeringwatch.org. No mention of the fact that engineering snowstorms has been openly conducted by governments like China that Fox News and Popular Science covered. No, they find some other excuse because they know if the American population found out that for the last 70 plus years they've been subjected to an experiment from which there is no return, a lethal experiment, now increasingly including engineered winter weather events to keep them confused and divided as to the true state of climate collapse until the last possible moment. They won't let that come out because they know populations then, once they find out, would likely take to the streets with their pitchforks and torches to try to find anyone, everyone involved. So they make things up, like stating the wings and the propellers magically turned rain to snow. It's not reality. When will Americans start to peacefully and professionally hold the paid liars that work for agencies like the Weather Channel? When will we start to hold them accountable? And all of us are responsible to do this, again, peacefully, professionally. But call them out with communications and CC as many other people as you can so that those people you are holding accountable know that many are seeing the conversation. All of us need to engage in that type of accountability action. All of us are needed. And this excuse of the propellers and the wings, it's not a joke. This story was published again from many weather sources. As I stated earlier, we're living in an asylum of paid liars and the willfully ignorant. For the record, investigate patented processes of chemical ice nucleation for weather modification. Examine, as I stated, the complete section on this subject from the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org at the top, on the top toolbar under the Engineering Winter label. Moving on from CNN and numerous other sources, climate change will shrink U.S. economy and kill thousands. Government report warns from that report, an excerpt. A new U.S. government report delivers a dire warning about climate change and its devastating impacts. No mention of climate engineering, of course. Doesn't need to be mentioned. We know that they won't mention it. Saying the economy could lose hundreds of billions of dollars, or in the worst case scenario, more than 10% of its GDP by the end of the century. Now, I want to stop there. What an absolutely absurd statement. We will be all long gone, not by the end of the century, not by the middle of the century, but the mathematical trajectory, even by the quarter century mark, 2025, is beyond dire. These are still, as dire as they may sound to some, these are reports of total disinformation and pacification. And we're worried about losing 10% of GDP by the end of the century when, mathematically speaking, wildlife will be gone on the current trajectory by 2026. We've already lost 80 to 90% of Earth's insect populations, which means we will not be far behind. The oceans are dying by the day. Total disinformation, and that's what mainstream media is about. That's what it's for. That's what federal agencies are for, like EPA and other so-called consumer protection agencies. Their job is not to inform the public of threats, but to hide those threats from the public for the power structure for as long as possible. This report continues. The federally mandated study was supposed to come out in December, but it was released by the Trump administration on Friday, a week ago Friday, at a time when many Americans are in a long holiday weekend, distracted by family and shopping. That's no accident, by the way. No accident at all. For those who think that this administration is any different than any other in any real sense, that's not reality. And the insanity is ramped up now more than ever. I'm not politically oriented in any way, shape, or form. What I'm trying to point out is the whole political theater is exactly that, theater. Final excerpts from this report, David Easterling, director of the Technical Support Unit at the NOAA National Centers for Environmental Information, stated this, that the climate change the Earth has experienced is unlike any other. He said this, quote, the global average temperature is much higher and is rising much more rapidly than anything modern civilization has experienced. And this warming trend can only be explained by human activities. Now, that part is, part of that is true, but it doesn't convey the severity. For the record, about the last statement, again, though it may sound dire, it's still far short of what is actually unfolding. The current changes on our planet are occurring at a rate that is at minimum 170 times faster, that's conservatively, than any periods of change noted in the paleoplanetary record. 170 times faster. Mathematically, the planet is currently warming at the thermal energy equivalent of 4 to 5 Hiroshima bombs per second. Yes, per second. Translation, the warming of our planet is progressing at a rate equal to the heat released in 4 to 5 Hiroshima bombs per second. This is a mathematical reality, and please, please don't believe me. Rather, please actually investigate. Highly toxic climate engineering operations, which include, as I stated, patented processes of chemical ice nucleation, are being utilized to mask the unfolding climate collapse from the population for as long as possible. The oceans have so far absorbed the vast majority of this heat. The oceans are dying. More on that in a moment. The climate engineering elephant in the sky is getting ever harder to hide in plain sight. Consider this new report from CBS News and other sources. Controversial spraying method aims to curb global warming. Question, how ridiculous does our reality have to become before people wake up and look up and understand that everything that these mainstream sources are describing, everything, every detail is exactly what we see happening in our skies, and yet the quote authorities, the quote experts deny what we can see with our own eyes, and the public is all too happy to go along with that denial. More on that later in this broadcast. But here's an excerpt from this report. New York, they state, a fleet of 100 planes making 4,000 worldwide missions per year could help save the world from climate change. Also, it may be relatively cheap. That's the conclusion of a new peer-reviewed study in Environmental Research Letters. The report continues. It's the stuff of science fiction. They state, planes spraying tiny sulfate particles into lower stratosphere. The idea is to help shield the Earth from just enough sunlight to help keep temperatures low. Can't people connect these dots? What do we see in our skies? Jet aircraft spraying particulates. This is not condensation. It is not condensation. Doesn't deductive reasoning tell us you can't have a grid pattern one day and nothing the next? You can't have an aircraft leaving a trail from horizon to horizon next to an aircraft leaving nothing? You can't have condensation turned on and off. We have many, many film footage clips of this happening. We have photographs of the nozzles mounted on the pylons aimed at the exhaust jet stream to make this look like condensation. We have photographs of the aircraft interiors with tanks. We're asking people to examine the data. And yet the denial continues to deepen. The report finishes with this. The researchers examine how practical and cost effective a hypothetical solar geoengineering products would be beginning 15 years from now. The aim would be to halve the temperature increase caused by heat-trapping greenhouse gases. This is so absurd. These programs have verifiably started 70 years ago, and academia still continuing to portray the entire human race and the web of life, still pretending that what we see with our own eyes in the skies, we don't see. And I can tell you they're blocking the sun. That's how I got into this battle. My full solar off-grid home, losing immense amounts of solar energy from what these aircraft were emitting, immense amounts. This is solar radiation management. They finish with this final statement. This method would mimic what large volcanoes do, filling the sky with particulates. Here's another parallel report from CNN, dimming the sun. The answer to global warming? Question mark. Report stated this, excerpt, scientists are proposing the ingenious, quote, but as of yet unproven way to tackle climate change, spraying sun-dimming chemicals into the Earth's atmosphere. They go on to say this, the technique would involve spraying large amounts of sulfate particles, like the last article stated, into Earth's lower stratosphere. The scientists proposed delivering the sulfates with specially designed aircraft. Well, we covered that fact. For how long? That's what geoengineeringwatch.org is about, disclosing this issue that academia has so far not had the moral fortitude to help expose. I hope that changes. If you're in academia, you're listening to this, you have an obligation to your children, to everyone's children, to the web of life. You have an obligation to tell the truth, whatever the cost. If you're involved in any way, shape, or form with these programs, stop. Look in the mirror. Change directions. Question. Do these articles just covered ever mention the fact that all life on the ground will be forced to breathe the highly toxic climate engineering fallout? No. The reports don't mention the true primary element used in climate engineering operations is aluminum. Finally, and most importantly, the articles are total disinformation, again, as the climate engineering weather warfare assault has been going on for over 70 years already. The toxic brew we are all breathing is not only killing us, it's killing the insects. And as I stated, if they cannot survive, we will soon follow in their path. Another headline on that in a moment. Though geoengineeringwatch.org has reported on this issue for years before mainstream media acknowledgement, and though I have reported on this in, as I stated, numerous previous broadcasts, here's yet another confirmation of our research on the insect collapse. This is a new report. I know I've covered this before, but now becoming impossible to hide from mainstream media. The insect apocalypse is here. What does it mean for the rest of life on Earth? Excerpt from that report. The current worldwide loss of biodiversity is popularly known as the sixth extinction, the sixth time in world history that large numbers of species have disappeared in an unusually rapid succession. And again, right now, 170 times faster than any previous mass extinction. And this time it's not caused by asteroids or ice ages, but by humans. In 2017, a science study reported that major population and range loss extended even to species considered to be at low risk for extinction. The study predicted that, quote, negative cascading consequences like co-extinction, which I covered last week, on ecosystem functioning and services vital to sustaining civilization. And the authors offered another term for the widespread loss of the world's wild fauna, biological annihilation. That's what's occurring. Moving on, here's another absolutely insane practice that is completely contaminating what is left of our planet's once pure water, fracking. Here's the headline. Ground and stream water clues reveal shale drilling impacts. From the report, chemical clues in waters near the Marcellus Shale gas wells in rural Pennsylvania can identify new drilling-related sources of methane contamination. According to scientists, the findings provide a new tool for distinguishing potential environmental impacts of shale drilling. There's no potential. There's no could, may, might. Again, it's like saying if you throw someone out of a building, you could harm them. This is ridiculous. Academia is so completely bought, sold, and paid for. It's truly a sad state to humanity. Final statement from this report. Scientists also found that methane contamination may be more likely to occur when drilling takes place. This is ridiculous. You may be more likely to die if you leap off a tall building. This is so hard to comprehend, the Orwellian world that we live in. Moving on, this new headline to consider from multiple sources. Sandstorm engulfs China city. The pictures of this must be seen to be believed, by the way. And what is visible in the skies above the sandstorm is even more shocking. An extreme aerosol spraying assault over the sandstorm, just like we recorded at geoengineeringwatch.org. For those live broadcast listeners that might not have seen it, we recorded time-lapse film footage of massive jet aerosol spraying occurring directly over the smoke canopy for the campfire, directly over. And we know these particulates from lab tests contain massive amounts of aluminum. Aluminum is an incendiary dust. It's flammable, being sprayed directly over the fire zones. What's going on? And why isn't the public concerned? We know these fires are not natural. They are unprecedented. More on that in a moment from other parts of the world where it's happening right now. Another headline from Canadian media source CBC. This new report, how BC destroys a key natural wildfire defense every year, just like Ryan Zinke is trying to do here. Provincial rules require spraying of fire-resistant aspen trees to make way for valuable conifers. Let's kill the forest to make room for some sort of commercial operation using pesticides that kill everything else. Business as usual. Loot, plunder, pillage until there's nothing left. That's what's happening in Canada. Same thing happens here when our timber companies clear cut whole swaths of forest and spike the other species of trees to make room for genetically modified conifers. That forest is dead for any form of wildlife. It's done. It's happening everywhere. Like a cancer. The human race is behaving like a cancer whose only goal is to proliferate until the host is dead. That's how our species is behaving at this moment. Another headline from 9news.com.au, Channel 9 News Australia. This news report, Queensland firefighters stretched by unprecedented heat wave. More than 70 wildfires are burning across Queensland as an extreme, unprecedented heat wave blasts the state. This is happening now. Record-breaking heat, unseasonably low humidity, dust storms, and thunderstorms that may not bring rain are in the forecast for parts of the state. Same thing that happened in California, same thing that happened in Finland, Sweden, Norway, Canada, Siberia, Alaska. This summer in the Northern Hemisphere is happening now in the Southern Hemisphere. Another headline from multiple sources, this new report. Extreme heat increasing in both summer and winter. A new study in the Journal of Geophysical Research, a publication of the American Geophysical Union, examined absolute extreme temperatures, high temperatures in summer, and low temperatures in winter. The new study found both relative and absolute extreme heat events have increased across the U.S. and Canada since 1980. I realize if you're in the engineered cool-down zones in the U.S., the only anomalously blue below normal temperature location on much of the planet for much of the last decade, because the U.S. has such a massive military, can conduct massive geoengineering, chemical ice-nucleated cool-downs. If you're in that region and you think because it's cold where you're at, it's cold all over the world, that is not the case. I will state again for the record. The eastern half of the lower 48 of the United States is 1/200th of the Earth's surface area. Half of a percent. 0.5%. That is not indicative of the entire planet. Please, look beyond your own doorstep, beyond your own windowsill. Please, look at the global picture. It is not getting cooler. It is getting exponentially warmer. And this is not about Al Gore. It's not about carbon credit shams. It's about reality. It's about climate engineering. It's making the issue far worse, not better. Moving on. Greenhouse gas is triggering more climate changes than we can handle. This is a recent study published in Nature Climate Change, provides one of the most comprehensive assessments yet of how humanity is being impacted by the simultaneous occurrence of multiple climate hazards strengthened by increasing greenhouse gas emissions. No mention of climate engineering ever from academia, ever. This is absolutely criminal. It's criminal. And I hope people in academia and elected officials and people in agencies understand that when the population wakes up to what is going on and understands what part they may have played or did play in the criminal climate engineering cover-up, they should be concerned about that. And one can only imagine that such an enraged population will hold every single individual that was a part of these programs or a part of the cover-up, that the population will hold them legally and morally accountable. Back to the subject of geoengineered winter weather events and chemical ice nucleation, from Yahoo News and other sources, this new report, dozens of sea turtles, in fact it was hundreds, found frozen to death at Cape Cod. Many of the turtles were found frozen in water. Some of the victims were Kemp's Ridley turtles, the most endangered sea turtles in the world. Quote, it was like they were flash frozen, flippers in weird positions like they were swimming. Robert Prescott, director of Massachusetts Audubon Society's Bay Wildlife Sanctuary, told Cape Cod Times, frozen while swimming. This is not natural. This is chemical ice nucleation. If you've never seen the lab test shown on geoengineeringwatch.org, again, research the entire engineered winter section and look at the lab tests we have that show a lab demonstration of chemical and biological ice nucleating elements freezing a vessel of water instantaneously. That's what's happening. How can you have frozen events like this in seawater that's far above freezing temperatures? And seawater, by the way, doesn't freeze until 28.4 degrees. Seawater is not freezing there, so why is the surface freezing? Because of chemical ice nucleation. It's wreaking havoc in the environment. South America, previous events in recent years killed up to 250,000 alpacas from this process. I've already covered multiple times South Dakota. 100,000 cattle died from a so-called snowstorm in October with temperatures of 40 degrees, cattle laying around in mud days later because of chemical ice nucleation that killed them in a similar manner. chemical ice nucleation that so few are not acknowledging. And on that note, let's consider this headline of disinformation, this particular example from ArmstrongEconomics.com. The headline is "Global Cooling is Real." It says, while NASA has now confirmed that the outer atmosphere is getting colder, it seems desperately insane for people to keep denying the possibility of global cooling that is already taking place. Really? We've just passed now the 406th consecutive month of above normal temperatures. The only place that's anomalously cool consistently is the eastern half of the U.S. lower 48. And we have disinformation sources like this, whether willingly or because of complete ignorance, pretending that these engineered cool downs are real and thus confusing and dividing the population as to the true state of climate collapse. And that is one of the primary purposes of climate engineering. Confuse and divide the population on the true state of climate and biosphere collapse until the last possible moment. And sources like this are perpetuating that lie. For the record, mass whale beachings continue around the globe. Our oceans, as I stated, are superheating, acidifying, and dying. We're on course for a catastrophic condition known as Canfield Ocean. If the oceans die, we die. If the insects die, we die. If the trees die, we die. If the ozone layer collapses, then it is, we die. All of this is converging at once. We don't change course. Soon, we're done. Moving on. This new report from multiple sources. Antarctic melting slows atmospheric warming and speeds sea level rise. From the University of Arizona. Another new headline from the LA Times and numerous other sources. Climate change will harm the entire nation if the U.S. doesn't act now, federal report warns. And understand, I have no faith in the institutions publicizing these reports. Is their data wrong? Yes, it's wrong. But in the opposite direction of what most are choosing to believe, it's far worse than anything any of these reports state. I stand on the record with that statement. It's exponentially worse than any of these reports state that will be in dire straits by the end of the century. We will be long gone, all of us. The planet may look like Venus by the end of the century. Don't care if you don't believe that. That's not my business to make someone believe. I can't do that. It's not in my power. All I can do is report the data from the front lines as we reported going back nearly a decade that what has happened in California would happen in California. And even now that it has happened in California, very few still willing to face the truth. I hope that changes. Another headline from the LA Times on that note of the fires. From the LA Times, why California fires seem like they're getting worse. Seem like? What an absurd statement. Here's a statistical fact. Between 2003 and 2007, a total of 5,379 wildfires burned in California. In 2017, close to twice that of the five-year number burned. 9,133 fires in a single year. And it seems like it's getting worse when 2017 had twice as much fires as a five-year period earlier in this century, only a decade ago. This is absurd. Nobody's telling the truth. Question, what sort of weather do the climate engineers have scheduled for Northern California as we enter December and head toward the next round of holidays? Based on the latest NOAA extended forecast maps, the geoengineers, aka the weather terrorists, have a very large-scale engineered cool down in store for much of the U.S. and a highly toxic weather scenario that will include extensive chemical ice nucleation dispersions over the available cloud moisture. Now, moving on. From numerous sources, this report should be carefully considered for what it's really about. Here's the report. Donald Trump's climate change tweet lambasted by scientists. He's a dangerous clown. To the scientists, you're dangerous tools of deception. You're not telling the truth either. Scientists have called out President Donald Trump after he once again used the cold weather to question the existence of global warming, as I said, over and over. That's why so many engineered cool downs are taking place over the most populated zones of the U.S. to create just the kind of controversy that's going on right now. Again, consider this. Any and every occupant of the White House is nothing more than an actor in the power structure play. Their political stripe is irrelevant. One of the primary roles assigned to presidents by those in power is to create maximum polarization and division in the population. And now more than ever, this is the case with the current puppet in the White House. What does the power structure do while the population is being distracted with orchestrated political theater? The military is further inflated. On that note, consider this new report from numerous sources. Congressionally mandated new report urges massive U.S. military increase. What a surprise. Build up the military. The executive summary states this: rivals and adversaries are challenging the United States on many fronts and in many domains. America's ability to defend its allies and its partners and its own vital interests, which means resources for the empire, are increasingly in doubt. If the nation does not act promptly to remedy these circumstances, the consequences will be grave and lasting. That means the empire will collapse. The document strongly urges expansions of the U.S. regime's policing of the world in the interest of American international corporations. That's what it's about. Conclusion. That's whom American troops are actually fighting for, the owners and their executives, people who want more money and don't care about the millions of people around the world that they help to kill and the millions of others whose continuing lives they make hellish. America's masters today are nothing less than psychopathic. Even 46% of the entire world's military budget, 46% of the entire world for our military, isn't enough to satisfy them. On that note, consider this report. Here's the headline. The U.S. has soldiers deployed in almost every country on earth. Military dominance as the last pillar of the empire. From that report, the U.S. has deployed 240,000 troops in 172 countries around the world. A sprawling global network which serves as a permanent gesture of threat towards every country which dares to substantially resist Washington. As a reminder, there are only 194 countries on the globe. The list of countries occupied by the U.S. is led by Japan, with nearly 40,000 troops spread across a total of 84 U.S. military bases as part of the more than 130,000 troops of the U.S. Pacific Fleet. The Japanese are thus the spearhead of the world war against China. The second country most occupied is Germany, with 36,034 troops stationed in 38 U.S. bases, and that's 72 years after the end of World War II, 27 years after German reunification. In total, there are 19 countries on this globe with at least 1,000 U.S. troops stationed, in addition to Afghanistan and Iraq, harboring together nearly 20,000 troops. The repressive and partly fascist oil dictatorships of the Gulf region are mainly among these, like Saudi Arabia, who this administration is staunchly and continuously defending, no matter how many innocent civilians they kill in Yemen, by the way. With Italy, the UK, Spain, and even Austria as well, dozens of smaller country contingents, there are tens of thousands of U.S. soldiers stationed all over Europe with their headquarters in Stuttgart, Germany. After Japan, the actual second place when adding deployed civilian Pentagon staff, even by far taking first place, goes to a rather unexpected country. Listen to this. The country is, quote, unknown. What exactly lies behind these 51,490 ghosts? Soldiers deployed somewhere, location unknown. We can all speculate where these soldiers are. That's an immense amount of soldiers that are somewhere unknown, in a country unknown. And we have an administration talking about transparency. Really? Meet the new boss. Same as the old boss, only worse. The current U.S. supremacy is sustained by a singular pillar, its military, and thus by the daunting, unwavering willingness demonstrated over the last 100 years to not only threaten with military retaliation, but to use it against every country which dares to substantially resist Washington. Whether big or small, poor or rich, ally or enemy, it plays no role here. With the false flag attacks of September 11, 2001 and the beginning of the so-called global war on terror, we entered a new age. But terror cannot be overcome with military force. Enemies can be extinguished, but terrorism is not a physical enemy. It is a military strategy. The U.S. government and military has made it clear they are completely committed to a doctrine of endless wars in countless countries. With a mentally ill, ultra-nationalistic, all militaristic and megalomaniac narcissist in the White House, it is certainly hard to imagine a non-bloody scenario for the 21st century. And for the record, I put all previous administrations going back a very long way in the same category, like Obama, the drone king, the killer of more civilians with drones than any other administration, or Bush, both Bushes, carrying out wars of aggression, or the Clintons. Why isn't Hillary Clinton in jail? Why hasn't Mr. Trump put her in jail as he promised he would? It's all part of the play, all part of the theater, all previous occupants of the White House, also criminal, also a part of the power structure. Please look past the orchestrated political theater and focus on the wider horizon. There are many dire truths that are incredibly difficult to face, but if we are to have any chance, we must face those truths. Consider this from author Scott Peck, author of The Road Less Traveled, Dedication to Reality, regarding a total dedication to the truth. Our view of reality is like a map with which to negotiate the terrain of life. The truer and more accurate the map, the more we will know where we are and how to get where we were going. While this is obvious, it is something that most people ignore because our route to reality requires difficulty and persistent effort. We are not born with maps. We have to make them. Some stop making maps by the end of adolescence. Their maps are small and sketchy. Their views of the world narrow and misleading. By the end of middle age, most people have given up the effort. They feel certain that their maps are complete and no longer are they interested in new information. Only a relative few continue until death, exploring the mystery of reality and truth. The biggest problem is that even the maps we have need to be continually revised. Our vantage point changes rapidly. As children, we are dependent and powerless. As adults, we may be powerful. In illness or in old age, we may become powerless again. Having children, having money, or being poor requires more revisions of our old maps to meet changing realities. And the process of making revisions, particularly major revisions, is sometimes excruciatingly painful. Herein lies the major source of many of the ills of mankind. Because when we ignore new information, we often ignore it actively and viciously, even attempting to manipulate the world so as to make it conform with our particular view of reality. Regarding openness to challenge, so what does a life of total dedication to truth mean? It means, first, a life of continuous and never-ending stringent self-examination. The life of wisdom must be a life of contemplation combined with action. Examination of the world without is never as personally painful as an examination of the world within us. Therefore, the majority steer away from it. But the further one proceeds along the path of self-examination, the less painful it becomes. It also means a life of willingness to be personally challenged, exposing our map to the criticism and challenge of other map makers, other individuals. Otherwise, we live in a closed system, a closed bell jar, rebreathing the same fetid air. The tendency to avoid challenge is so omnipresent in humans that it can properly be called a characteristic of human nature. But this trait is not essential or beneficial or unchangeable. Another characteristic of human nature, perhaps the one that makes us most human, is our capacity to do the unnatural, to transcend and hence to transform our own nature. A life of total dedication to the truth means a life of total honesty, a never-ending process of self-monitoring to assure that our communications reflect as accurately as humanly possible the truth or reality that can be factually verified. The reason people lie is to avoid the pain of challenge insofar as the challenge is legitimate. Lying circumvents legitimate suffering and hence must be considered a condition of mental illness. The bottom line is this. If we are to have any chance of even near-term continued survival on our dying planet, we, all of us, each of us, must find the strength of will and courage to rise above our programming, to rise above ideology, preconception, and bias. We must constantly work to keep clear the lens through which we view the world. We must remember that we do not exist to loot, plunder, and pillage the web of life. Rather, we have an obligation to the web of life. This must always be remembered and considered. We do not own our lives. We owe them to the web of life, to our children, to the whole. Our free will can never be taken, ever. We must not give up in this epic battle for the greater good. We must not yield to the gathering darkness. Every single individual that is awakened by our collective efforts matters. Never forget that. The only place solace will ever be found is in fully facing the gathering storm head on. Stand up. Make your voice heard. March with us in the all-important battle to fully expose and stop the insanity. starting with the ongoing global climate engineering weather warfare operations. Check the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org for specific activist instructions on how to help turn the tide. Until next week, this is Dane Wigington with geoengineeringwatch.org.